This particular Easter, we've been thinking about the open door. This is your first time here. You were wondering what this was, weren't you? It represents an open door to match the screen behind me, I think. And because when Jesus kind of died and came back to life and was resurrected, he opened the door for each one of us to have a relationship with God. Something that every single human being needs and knows they're missing, even if they don't know what it is. They know something's missing. And Jesus opened the door for that relationship with God again. Something we were actually created and designed to have. An understanding of the eternity and God himself. It also opens the door for freedom. I don't know if you were listening to the songs, reading the words, but it talked about being chains being broken. Talked about being set free. And there is this idea, which is true, that things we do wrong bind us and restrict us. And Jesus came, as it were, to take those bounds away, to give us forgiveness, to give us hope, so that we can forgive ourselves as well as forgive other people and be set free to live an amazing life here and now. And also, it opens the door to heaven. Now, obviously, we don't walk straight into heaven because we wouldn't be here, right? But it gives us glimpses of heaven and an understanding that each one of us who follow Jesus can make use the resources that heaven offers us. Because the Bible talks about God's power being available to us, God giving us gifts from heaven. In fact, it says that the whole of the heavenly host is cheering you on in your Christian faith. That always cheers me up. I have a whole lot of groupies in heaven who are cheering me on, saying, go ahead. Well, perhaps not groupies, but you know what I mean. You know, people are cheering me on. You won't forget that now, will you? That sounds good, that was. I like that. Anyway, what I want to do tonight, thinking about the open door and thinking about all these things, is to have a look at the Easter story through a fresh pair of eyes. It's fresh for me. It might not be fresh for all of you, some of you've been Christians a long time, but I think for many of you, a fresh pair of eyes. Through the eyes of a criminal, a terrorist called Barabbas. And he's mentioned in all four Gospels in passing. And I want to read one of those stories in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, verse 27, where he's mentioned. Then we're going to have a look at the cross through his eyes. It's fascinating to have a look through what went on through this non-Christian, non-believer, totally bad guy called Barabbas, who has a miracle, happens to him as he goes along. So it says this, Matthew 27, verse 11. Jesus stood before the governor. So Jesus was, he'd already been arrested, and he's now going to be tried by the governor, by Pontius Pilate. And the governor, so Pontius Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" It is as you say, Jesus replied. And then he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, but he didn't answer them. And then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear their testimony that they are bringing against you?" But Jesus still made no reply, not even to a single charge, and to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast, so it's the feast of the Passover, to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who's called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. He knew that Jesus wasn't really guilty. And he was looking for a way to release Jesus and make it right. For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. But again, the governor asked, "Which of these two do you want me to release?" "Barabbas," the crowd answered. "Barabbas, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And they all answered, "Crucify him, crucify him." "Why," said Pilate, "what crime has he committed?" But they shouted even louder. He tried it three times, even louder. They said, "Crucify him, crucify him." When Pilate saw he was getting nowhere and that there was instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. Then verse 26, then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to the authorities to be crucified. This story of Barabbas. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Barabbas. We just read there in Matthew that he was a notorious prisoner. He was well known. He was a well-known bad guy. A well-known bad guy, famous, at least in Israel. The writers of Mark and Luke talk about him being involved in murder and insurrection, which means, I think, that he was a terrorist. So he was a terrorist in Israel. And he was a terrorist against the Roman authorities and the Jewish authorities, because both the Roman authorities and the Jewish authorities liked the status quo. But he was one of the Jews who didn't like the status quo, wanted them to be totally free, and so he was a terrorist. Now, the Apostle John in his gospel says that he was a bandit. But you see, terrorists in those days didn't have explosions. So they didn't drive up in a car, leave it, and blow people up. They formed together in bands and raided people or things. They were bloodthirsty. They literally had swords and knives and would attack Roman soldiers, Roman positions, and they would be able to interact. They would literally go and murder as many Romans as they could possibly do, or any Roman sympathizers. They wouldn't care. And that's what he'd been involved in all these years. But in this story, he'd been caught. He'd been caught. And I want you to imagine with me this Friday. Because I imagine when Barabbas woke up that day in his prison, he realized that this was his last day on earth. His very last day on earth. He knew that that afternoon, well, lunchtime kind of thing, that he was going to get crucified. That was a punishment. He was going to get crucified on a cross. He would have seen many people crucified on a cross. He would have heard the screams as the nails went through those wrists and through the ankles. He would have seen the horrible, slow death of people drowning slowly in their own juices in their lungs. And he knew that's what he was about to go through. Now, we don't know how he felt, but we can guess, right? I guess he felt scared. I guess he felt worried. I guess he asked some of the obvious questions. I wonder if my life has actually counted for anything. He must have wondered about his family and friends. I wonder if his mum was still alive. And he was sat there thinking, I wonder what my mum thinks. I wonder if he felt a bit sad or disappointed in his choice, which meant that his mum would have to say goodbye and watch him die on that day. I wonder if my life's been all worthwhile. I wonder... However he felt that morning, it wasn't a pleasant experience. And I imagine that when the Roman soldiers knocked on the jail door or opened the jail door and marched in and said, Barabbas, it's you! You might have thought, oh, wow, so this is it. I'm going to now walk to Golgotha and I pick up my cross somewhere along the way and I have to drag it up that hill and this is it. It's finished. I'm not going to be able to escape. I have no way of getting out. I suspect he was chained. So he kind of rattled as he went along, as you know, classic film pose. And I guess he kind of went out and he went shuffle, shuffle, shuffle with guards on either side. And as he started going through the streets of Jerusalem, he'd know where he was going. He would know where the route to Golgotha, where he's going. He'd know where he's going. And I imagine he came to a fork in the road and rather than going right, he went left. Because he wasn't going to Golgotha. He was going to the governor's house. He was going to Pilate's house. Now, he didn't know that, right? And rather than going that way, he said, they all turned that way. And I'm sure he went, oh, what's going on? And I can imagine the soldiers recognizing the kind of uncertainty in the prisoner would put their hand on his shoulder and sympathetically say, don't worry, mate, we have something really special stored up for you. Because that's what Roman soldiers did. And I bet they just kind of tease him a little bit. It's going to be even worse than you could possibly imagine. Because they've been killing his mates, right? It wasn't like they liked him. They hated him. Because they were killing his... The Roman soldiers' friends were dying on the hands of people like that. They weren't going to treat him nicely. If they could wind him up and get one in, they would do. And I suspect the whole way they made it as hard and as horrible as possible. Didn't make it any easier. And I suspect his step was as small as it could be, and he shuffled as much as he could to enjoy at least every moment that he had left in his life. And then he must have got into Pontius Pilate's kind of office in his room, and as he kind of escorted him and deposited him, he must have looked around the room and thought, well, this is bizarre. there's Pilate, the governor, over there with some of his kind of officials. And over there, he probably recognized Jesus. Jesus was very famous. Probably thought, that's Jesus. What's he doing here? What's he doing in this room? That's weird. And I'm sure he had soldiers around him, make sure he didn't go anywhere. And so he'd be kind of there. And I imagine there was a conversation. He saw the chief priests and the Jewish leaders. And he went, what are they doing here? Because they hate my guts as well. Pilate hates me. They hate me. The only probably friendly person he could see was Jesus in the room. And they were discussing, and they're discussing something passionately, energetically. And he could probably tell that Pilate disagreed, the governor disagreed with the Jews. He didn't know what it was, but he could sense there was some tension over there. And then he must have heard for the very first time Pilate say, well, do you want me to release Jesus or do you want me to release Barabbas? Imagine how he felt. He must have gone like, pardon? Just pass that by me again? You want to do what? And there must have been a flicker of hope that died instantly. Because you would, wouldn't you? Because your hope had gone. It would have flicked and then gone again. And then he heard it again from Pilate. Well, do you want me to release Jesus or Barabbas, the criminal, the one that's been killing both your guys and my guys? And he was going like, I mean, me, I'd be like, that's a good idea. Me. Me, please. Me sounds good. And there must have been some kind of hope, surprise, amazement, wonder, shock, everything you can possibly think of. Hope. Oh, hope. What a wonderful thing that must have tasted on that day for him. Just a little bit of, it's not finished yet. There is some hope. And Jesus was over there, quiet. The Bible says he was quiet. And there was a crowd was ushered in, and the crowd were asked, Barabbas or Jesus? And if I was Barabbas, I'd go like, pick me, don't care about him, pick me. You wouldn't that, of course. You go, no, it's fine, I'll take it. He's a good guy. That's right, that's what you would have done, right? Yeah, he's good. No, I should die. No, we wouldn't, right? Pick him. Yeah, don't care. And I'm sure he felt like that. Pick me, please pick me. And the crowd had been stirred up. They said, Barabbas, Barabbas. And Pilate said, what should I do with Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him. And Barabbas going like, this is going really well. Sorry, Jesus. Unlucky, mate. And then, but something inside him must have gone, it can't be true. Because surely you think you're dreaming, right? You'd woken up that morning convinced this was your last day on planet Earth. Finished. And he was stood there thinking, this is like one of those super movies, right? Where it suddenly happens good at the end and you get rescued and it's all great. Kind of multicolored Warner Brothers thing. It's a dream. It's a film. It can't be possibly happening to me. And then Pilate says, look, if that's what you want, you go and crucify Jesus and we release Barabbas. And I'm sure he put his hands out. Yeah, please take him off. Please take him off. And we don't know what happened, but we presume the Roman soldiers took him out to make sure he didn't cause any trouble. I imagine they took him all the way out of the palace before they took anything off because they wouldn't trust him, right? I'm sure on the way they kicked him a few times, but he wouldn't care, right? He can do what he wants. I'm going free. You can do what I want. I mean, don't chop anything off, but you can do what you want. And I'm sure he got out through the gates and they undid the chains and kind of said, well, you're a lucky so-and-so. I'm sure they didn't put it quite like that, but something like that. And off he went, and he was free. Who knows what he did? If he did have his mum, I'm sure he'd go and see his mum, right? I'm sure he'd go and see his family and his friends, but inside his heart, he'd be like, wow, I'm free. But then what did he do? What did he do? Did he go, right, I need to get as far as away from Jerusalem because it's a horrible place and I don't want to get rearrested, so I'm going to clear off. Did he go as far as away as he could, as fast as he could? Did he stick around? Did he think, oh, that Jesus bloke, he was a bit unlucky, really. He was very unlucky because it was my cross. Because that's, you see, Jesus didn't have a new cross. He took Barabbas' cross, right? He literally took his place. It wasn't kind of, that was meant for Barabbas, but Barabbas didn't get it. Jesus got it instead. I wonder if he stuck around. I wonder if he kind of quietly and in the background, make sure he didn't get seen by anybody, made his way up to the top of Golgotha and just kind of perched at the back of the crowd and had a look. Oh, there he is. Yeah, well, thanks, mate. Thanks, you know, I don't know who you are really, but thanks. You know, that should have been me, honestly. I wonder if you did that. I wonder if you got a bit closer. I wonder if you heard what Jesus said about it being finished and it was all over and God's forsaken me. I wonder if you heard the centurion say, after there's been the earthquake and the sky gone dark and Jesus died, truly you must be the Son of God. I wonder if you heard those words. I wonder. I wonder if he's still around in Jerusalem, the surrounding areas, when he heard rumors that this Jesus was alive. I wondered. Well, he must have heard it because it was spread everywhere after the day of Pentecost. I wonder what he did. Did he go, oh, I best go and find out about that person who went on the cross instead of me? Or did he go, thanks, Jesus, and carry on in his old ways, totally ignoring the miracle of escape that he'd experienced those days, weeks, months before, when Jesus accidentally took his place on the cross that was supposed to be. I wonder what he did. Well, my friends, if you think about the Easter story, Barabbas probably represents you and me as close as anybody else. We've all rebelled against God, the King, against the ultimate authority. All of us have. And if you say, no, I haven't, you just have done, by definition. We've ignored God. We've said we don't need him. And the Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. Now, we're not sat in a cell waiting for death, are we? I mean, that's silly. But if you think about it, in those quiet moments when everybody's gone and you're on your own, and you begin to think about your life in eternity, all of us, from the very youngest to the very oldest, occasionally our thoughts do turn to our final days. And we do go, yeah, I wonder how long I'll live. I wonder if my life will count for anything. I wonder if the purpose that I pursued, people are going to remember. Or is my life just a waste of time? We all have those. If you've never had them, you will now. Because you won't be able to forget it. Because I've just said it, so I'm sorry about that. But there you go. Ruin the rest of your life. Not really. We all have those thoughts, like Barabbas. It's my life. And we are waiting for that day. But you're here in church on Easter Sunday. And this Jesus that accidentally, really, it was God's plan. There's no accident at all. It was planned by God from the beginning of time. This was going to happen. So don't feel too sorry for Jesus. Jesus knew it was going to happen. It was already planned. It was happening, right? But you're in church on Easter, and Jesus is once again saying, if you want, I will take your death on my shoulders so you don't need to worry about it. I'll take your death so that your life in eternity can mean something. So that actually you can begin to understand there's a God who loves you and you can have a relationship. You can figure out what life's all about again. Because you're here, you can't avoid it now. It's too late. If it's your first time in church, I'm so glad you're here. Because you get to hear the good news on this Easter. That God loves you, sent Jesus to die instead of you so you can live forever. It is the most amazing gift. And have a relationship with God as well. But what are you going to do about it? You see, we don't know what Barabbas did. We have no idea. I did quite a lot of research this last couple of days, and some commentators said there are odd writings in antiquity which aren't very reliable, which means we have no idea, really, that he probably went back to his old ways and ended up being killed in one of his insurrections. So, but we don't really know. But you will know what you're going to do with it. Jesus, this Easter, offers to take your place so you don't need to worry about death ever again. So that your rebellion against God, your ignoring him, can be forgiven totally and completely so you can have a relationship with God again. He's willing to do that if you want. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to come back to the cross, as Barabbas might have done, and ponder a while on what Jesus is doing for you and go, wow, that's amazing. You died instead of me. And then come to the understanding of, I'd like to get to know you better, Jesus. I'd like to follow you. I'd like to understand why you did it for me. Perhaps not, perhaps like Barabbas probably did. Perhaps you want to leave this church as fast as possible and ignore that you ever heard it. Because even though you guess it might be true, you don't want it to impact your life. You want to carry on doing your own thing. Go back to your old ways. Whatever the consequences that might entail, you just want to forget about it. Well, everybody, church exists. We exist to help each one of us connect with Jesus, to actually meet Jesus, who did come back to life again, that we celebrate today, and we're going to celebrate at the end of this service. And celebrate next Sunday and celebrate every Sunday we have breath that Jesus did come back to life and does want to have a relationship with you. He not only wants to die for you, he wants to come back to life and help you understand that his resurrected life can be your resurrected experience too. Not just some days, but every single day of your life.